The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. And wasn't Dr. Spencer Clavin fascinating? I found that discussion very, very interesting, not least because he's coming at our problems, both global and local, with a very positive mindset, a very optimistic, a very hopeful view that the future has got all sorts of possibilities. And he makes a very good point that these crises have come and gone in history many, many times. And these crises that we face today on a global level will change in due course. They will change in different ways, and some of them will abate and others will be transformed in other ways. But we know that from our own lives. Sometimes crises hit our lives and we need all the help we can get at certain points in our life. And that's where prayer comes in. And that's what we're going to do now for the next 30 minutes here on the Turley Frequency. We are going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So, let's find out. Reed, do we have a prayer partner, prayer warrior today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Miss Jennifer Albritton.
Jennifer, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
We're very excited to have you here. Are you nervous, Jennifer? It's your first time.
Just a touch, but I think I can handle it.
That's what I say to myself every day, you know, just before we come on air.
Well, I've listened to you and you do a great job, so.
Well, I'm sure you're going to do an even better job listening to you this morning. You say you've got a great radio voice, Jennifer. Are you from the Alabama area?
I am from Daphne, Alabama, originally from Mobile, but we moved to Daphne about 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I haven't quite been able to pick out the different accents, but I really enjoy the Alabama accent. I think it's got sort of guts to it, gusto. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Our little southern charm down here.
Well, I mean, I have been in the south of the United States, and there's varying accents. You know, there's some that are, I mean, like everywhere, but the Alabamans just, they have a bit of grit about them. You know, I like that.
Absolutely.
They mean what they say, and they say what they mean.
Kevin, do you think that my accent is similar to the Alabama accent, or is it distinct to you?
Now you've put me on the spot. I'm really not sure. Where's your accent from, Ray?
I'm from North Georgia, which is...
Yeah, it's different. Yeah, it definitely sounds different. No, I didn't think you had an Alabama accent, but I knew it was a southern accent. I just didn't know where it's from.
And I've been told for years I don't really sound like a southerner, but obviously yeah. I have southern, I guess, inflections and sayings and stuff like that, even though I was raised down here.
Mm-hmm. No, you, as I say, your accent didn't sound just southern. But anyway, this isn't about accent. Jennifer, I'm assuming you have prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet before.
I sure have, yes, sir.
That's fantastic. And I'm assuming you have heard how we pray it on this station.
Yes, sir, I sure have.
You don't have to call me sir, you know. This is not the military, Jennifer.
I know, but it's one of those southern little niches that are ingrained in us from birth.
I think it's really nice, and I like the way people call sir. But then I have to call you, what do I call you, madam?
Ma'am.
Or Ma'am, that's
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But then we're here all day with yes, sir, ma'am, backwards and forwards. But anyway, you can call me Kevin. I'll call you Jennifer. Jennifer, were you raised a Catholic?
Yes, sir, I sure was.
That's fantastic. You're answering all these questions. You're going to win top prize. You know that,
yay,
don't you?
Yay, good.
And you know what the top prize is?
What is the top prize? Extra prayers?
No, just you can pray with me today. That's the top prize. That's the only prize we have on this station.
Well, I've been looking forward to it. I really have.
And have you brought a saddlebag full of intentions?
I have about three, but maybe next time I'll have a few more.
Well, we might be able to dig out a few more from you as the show goes. Now, as you know, Jennifer, what we do, we have 5 decades of this wonderful prayer. And what I'm telling our audience is that you can have one of those decades. Jennifer's obviously bagged one of those decades by coming in. She'd probably get another one as a bonus prize because she answers all the questions so well. But you can have us pray for you. Jennifer and me, Reed, Mike, everybody at the station, everybody listening, we will pray for whatever your intention is. Now, I don't know about you, Jennifer, but the thought of a lot of people praying for me is something personally, I would grab. I don't know about you.
Oh, absolutely. Prayer is so important. And when you feel the support from your family community, you just feel like you're just blanketed with God. And you know you're not alone, which we never are because we always have God. But when you have anybody, whether it's Catholics, any Christian, praying for you and praying in Mass, it touches you in a different way.
That's right. Prayer really does change things. Have you experienced that in your own life, John?
Yes, sir. I sure have.
Yeah, me too.
I have.
Situations where you think this is hopeless, mm-hmm. and then people pray.
You just give it to God and ask Him to take it from you and guide you and give you the faith you need to overcome whatever it is in your life that needs those extra prayers.
That's right. Totally agree. Okay, well, shall we begin?
Yes, sir, sure.
Let's do that, Jennifer. Okay, so, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Jennifer,
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart,
of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust
in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Well done, Jennifer. We are up and running. And if you want us, Jennifer and me, to pray for you, then all you got to do is text 251-928-2111. What have you got to lose? Okay, Jennifer, so who or what have you brought with you this morning?
My intentions?
Mm-hmm.
For the sanctity of marriage, may God continue to help us strengthen the bonds of holy matrimony. We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. For peace and justice in the world and help for victims of natural disasters, we pray to the Lord.
Amen.
For those who suffer in their body, heart, and spirit, may they keep their trust and hope in Jesus Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's very beautiful, Jennifer. Very big intentions there. So peace and justice, absolutely. We've just been talking about the end of the Western world. So we pray for all our politicians, because they are the people who ultimately dictate whether there's peace and justice in society.
Absolutely.
And as for natural disasters, I assume, Jennifer, what's on your mind is recent events in Turkey and Syria.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. It's devastating. It truly
Isn't
is.
Isn't it?
Truly is.
Yeah. I mean, the death toll is just unimaginable, isn't it?
It's unimaginable, and I think continuing to climb, which is, you know, we'll see in the next several days, hopefully an end to that, and just the faith that, you know, these, you know, individuals will clearly see, you know, that God is with them and God will be with them no matter what.
Absolutely. And I love your prayer for the sanctity of marriage on the eve of St. Valentine's Day. I don't know if was that on your mind, maybe?
It was on my mind.
Yeah.
And I have a few friends who are just going through a few things, and I just felt it was appropriate, especially on the eve of Valentine's Day, to mention that.
I think it's very good, and I think it could be a theme this week, actually, that we pray for marriage and pray for those that are in marriage. Pray for those that are suffering difficulties of whatever sort in marriage. And every marriage has difficulties, right?
Jennifer,
are you married?
I am. I'm just 12
exactly.
years.
Okay, so every marriage has its ups and downs because it's two people, you know. I mean, I laughed at the when I came across the Fulton Sheen reference. He was talking about America in the 1950s and the proliferation of divorce, and he said that it's all on the grounds of incompatibility. And then he paused and said, you know, there is no man and no woman who is compatible. Do you know? I mean, we're all incompatible in a sense because we're all different.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
So, but ours is not a reductive view of marriage. And that's what you're talking about there. It's about sanctity in marriage. It's about the holy
family.
It's
about families. The bond. It's not.
It is.
It's not even a bond. It's a covenant.
It's a covenant.
And that's,
exactly.
You know, as Catholics, that's what we're taught. It's not only a bond, but it's a covenant that we make with our spouse through Jesus Christ and God. I mean, this was given to us so long ago, and I think so many people just see it as a bond, and a bond that can be broken and just walked away from. But if we actually truly think of it as a covenant with God, it just gives us a different perspective and a different way to, I guess, handle the obstacles of marriage.
I think you're absolutely right, Jennifer. I think that's beautifully put.
With Christ as the center, I think we can overcome everything. You know, we just have to work together and put him first and let him guide us.
That's right. And going back to Fulton Sheen, he wrote a very good book on marriage called Three to Get Married.
Exactly.
And it takes three. It takes our Lord and the two spouses to come together to make a holy matrimony. Well, Jennifer, let's put all of this into this first decade now, the sanctity of marriage. We'll pray, you don't have to voice them, but we'll pray specifically for your friends that are going through any difficulties in marriage. Pray for peace and justice throughout the world, but especially in the United States. And we pray for natural disasters, especially in Turkey and Syria. And for anybody whose heart or spirit is a bit dismal, a bit low at this time as well, we pray that listening to this broadcast, listening to myself and Jennifer praying for you now, it might give you a glimmer of hope that the day may go just that little bit better.
Well, if we start our day with God and, you know, in prayer and thought, how can we really go wrong?
Absolutely. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Now, we have had a text in from Mary Beth. Mary Beth, good morning to you. And Mary Beth says the following. Please pray for the repose of the soul of Joan, who we had prayed for earlier. She had cancer and diabetes and other issues, and she'd been sick for a long time. Thankfully, she was anointed. Mary Beth's asking for prayers for her grieving family, and her memorial mass is today. So Mary Beth, we're delighted to pray for your friend, Joan, and to pray for her family, that they will be comforted at this time. And in this decade, Jennifer, maybe we could include the souls of all the faithful departed. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer. So we've had another text in for this third decade, and it comes from Sherry. Good morning to you, Sherry. Thank you for your text. And Sherry's asking for a nice intention, because Sherry's asking for prayers for her Aunt Valerie, whose birthday it is today. So Aunt Valerie, we are so glad that you are having your birthday today, and we pray that it is an especially blessed one and that you have a lovely day. And we also pray for Sherry, your niece, having a wonderful niece like Sherry, who's thinking about you at this time. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much. I'm going to turn to Reed. Reed, is there anybody or anything that you'd like us to pray for this morning?
Yes, Kevin. Yesterday was the day that the RCIA initiates or candidates that I have been working with, you know, had to kind of make the commitment that they were going to be entering into, you know, the full stages of, mm-hmm. of becoming Catholic, you know, with Lent coming up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody you know, wanted to do it. Everybody was excited and has learned a lot in our class and everything. I'm very grateful for that. And they're all going to be, you know, doing the initiation at Easter. So I'd love mm-hmm. to pray for them and just that they'll, you know, find fulfillment and be great Catholics. And another thing that I would like to pray for is all law enforcement, Catholics especially, but all law enforcement. And I really mean like kind of the decision makers, the people who decide where the power of the law enforcement is distributed, like the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I pray for any Catholics who are part of that organization, and I just pray that they, you know, make good decisions, do the right thing, and that, you know, they're informed by the Lord.
Amen. Well, I think they're wonderful intentions, Reed, and we'll absolutely pray for all your candidates at your church. I think it's St. Patrick's, isn't it?
Yes.
Your church. So we pray for them. Pray for everybody, including yourself, who's instructing them as well, because may the Holy Spirit come upon you all at this time. Maybe it is as fruitful for them as it is for you in the end. And absolutely, Jennifer, one of her first intentions was peace and justice, and we pray for peace and justice in all law enforcement agencies, especially the FBI, that the law will be applied appropriately and fairly, and that nobody will be punished simply for having a belief, especially a Catholic belief.
Absolutely.
Right.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Reed. Believe it or not, Jennifer, we are now at our last decade. Has that flown past or what?
It has flown by.
Well, listen, for this is your first time, and it's you've only had one decade. I'd like you to have this that final decade as well. And I'd also like you to pray for whoever's been on your heart in the last 30 minutes or just comes into your mind now. Can be a small thing, can be a big thing. It can be somebody, you don't even have to voice their name. It can just be somebody who's on your heart, who's going through a difficulty or whatever that you'd particularly like us to focus our prayer on. So I wonder, is there anybody that comes to mind?
Absolutely. Excuse me. For my family, we are coming up on a year anniversary of losing my uncle and my cousin, and it's very, very hard. So I ask for peace and comfort and for God to blanket us, especially these next several days and for the rest of our lives, to give us peace and comfort.
Amen.
Amen.
Jennifer, we ask the Holy Spirit, the great Comforter, that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come upon your family at this time. And as you say, to blanket you in God's love and his grace, and to really feel the power of this prayer of divine mercy, to feel the healing touch of it in your lives, in your family's lives. And we also pray for the repose of the soul of your uncle and your cousin at this time.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we say together, Jennifer, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Oh my God, I trust in thee.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Oh my Jesus.
I trust in thee.
I trust in thee.
Oh my Jesus, I trust in thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, Jennifer, how was that?
It was great. I think I had a couple of hiccups, but that's okay. It's a learning experience, but I really do look forward to doing this again. It has enriched my soul, and I feel like I'm giving back to God in just a little way, but it just fills me with love and grace, and I'm very blessed to have been able to have this opportunity.
Well, we're very blessed to have you come in and pray with us, and I really mean that, Jennifer. It really is a grace for me to be able to pray with people who I've never met before, and just to be able to sit and we prayed together for all these difficulties, all these challenges, global, personal, whatever. And, you know, we were talking to that author before the break, and, you know, you can feel hopeless, but the only time I feel that there is hope and I do not feel hopeless is when we pray together for whatever the difficulty is, because I know he is larger than all of this and he will sort it out.
And there's prayer in numbers, too.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's why you are now a prayer warrior. You're part of the prayer warrior fraternity here on Archangel Radio.
Well, thank you for welcoming me, Kevin, and thank you for all that you do.
I hope you'll come back and soon.
I think I'm scheduled for the 28th.
And listen, you know, you can bring as many as you like. You know, there's 5 decades. You want to bring 4 of your family? Okay. Let's have them all here.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Have a wonderful day, Jennifer. See you soon.
God bless.
Okay, that was Jennifer on her first time as a prayer warrior. She did very, very well. When we come back, we will be talking all things weekend with Mike and Reed. They talked about some football match. I have no idea what it's about. And we'll be doing story time when we'll be talking about Joan of Arc and how she strangely appeared in an insane asylum in Norway. Yeah. Stick around. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. To the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And thank you so much for the last 30 minutes. Thank you to Jennifer coming in and praying with us for the first time. That was very kind of her. I hope whatever it is you're carrying in your heart, that somehow we were able to help lighten that load a little bit by praying together. As Jennifer said, there's something about praying together in numbers, you know. Get a packed church praying for your intentions and you'd soon see what's going to happen. Now, talking of prayers, Mike and Reed, what happened at the weekend? I'm a bit oblivious to American football, as you know, and I know you were cheering on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
So, was champions everywhere last night?
No, I wish. I wish that were the case.
What happened?
Unfortunately, the Eagles lost in the last minute and a half. The Chiefs went down. I think there was about about 5 to 3 minutes left. Chiefs went down, got down to about the 10-yard line, I guess, 10-15-yard line of the Eagles, and it was a third down. And
so they had one more chance.
They had one
to
more
score.
Chance to score. Exactly. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, the Philadelphia Eagles player, the defensive back, who covers the wide receiver. That catches the ball, held one of the receivers, and it was called for. It was called for holding. Now, if I'm, you know, it was a great game. It was a great, phenomenal game, classic back and forth. But I just think in that scenario, first of all, the ball was sailed way over the guy's head, and it was an uncatchable ball, even if the player did not hold him. But I think in that situation, you know, with a minute and a half left, you know, you just let them play. Let them play. But anyway, nevertheless, it was the Chiefs got a first down off of it, and then they ran the ball.
They ran
the time down all the way to about 8 seconds left. You know, they kicked a field goal, got up 38-35. So, yeah, it left 8 seconds for the Philadelphia Eagles to try to make one last desperation Hail Mary attempt, and it came up short. So
about 45 yards.
Yeah, about 45
short.
Yards short, but still not the way you wanted to. I hate it for Jalen and for all of the former Alabama players. I hate it for them. But that's just the way life is.
It was a very back and forth game, Kevin.
It was.
Both teams were scoring. They were just trading punches the whole time.
Yeah. Wow.
And really, the reason that we tell you the story about the penalty is, you know, is a little bit deflating. You know, you should never make a certain call or let something go just because it's the championship. You know what I mean? Like that, that's really not in the spirit of the game. But the fact of the matter to me is that in the championship already, there had been not blatant holding, but like it's on every play. Like if you imagine if you were going to keep somebody from running away from you to catch a football, you'd have to do everything in your power to keep them near you. So you know, that's what goes on in football. They tug at each other, slam, and just kind of, you know, it's not egregious, but they are, you know, everybody says it, there could be holding on every single play.
There could be.
So
so was there much criticism then of the referee or whatever the officials?
I wouldn't say much criticism because it's a call that could be made, Kevin, but it's the type of thing that wasn't called the whole time of the game. So the players allow themselves to get a bit more carried away with it, I guess you could say, because they go the whole
night without, they know how the refs are calling the game, so they're going to be a little bit more liberal in terms of how they play. And so
it's unfortunate the call was at the very end when there's nothing that can be done opposite team.
Right, because on that third down, if the ref does not throw the flag, you know, the Chiefs go on. There's a minute and a half left. They're up three, and that gives Philadelphia a chance to either tie it up, and we go into overtime, or they, you know, score a touchdown
and
win the game. And I think that would have made, you know,
that might have been the best Super Bowl of all time. Eagles had either if the Eagles had got the ball back with a minute and a half left, and and they march down the field, and then we're looking at, you know, there's 30 seconds left in the Super Bowl. the Eagles are on the Chiefs 20 or 25 yard line. Yeah. That would have been the most, you know, dramatic thing in sports in the last 5 or 6 years. So, in that way, we did come away feeling a little bit deflated because we didn't get that, I guess.
Yeah.
In terms of, you mean you guys, I presume, watch the Super Bowl every year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In terms of the last 10 years, 20 years, I mean, is it one of the classics? Was it a classic final?
It was up until that point, Kevin. It was it's unbelievable because, you know, you think back of, like, crazy Super Bowl moments.
Yeah,
not that you know, are an expert on them, Kevin, but, like, the Malcolm Butler interception on the goal line, the helmet catch by David Tyree. You know, it was right up there, I feel like, until the anticlimactic ending.
Yeah, very, very anticlimactic.
Wow. So it sounds like a regular episode of the Turley Frequency. Anticlimactic endings.
We always have we have climactic endings. I feel like a lot of people are in danger at the end of the Turley Frequency.
Yeah, in danger of going over the edge. So, listen, it sounds like the Chiefs made a meal of the Eagles in the end, and they ate them up. So lots of tears were there in Philadelphia last night then? Would there be a lot of wailing and beating of chests?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. The Philadelphia fans, they're pretty passionate.
But tell me this, as the crow flies, not the eagle, but as the crow flies, what is the nearest NFL team to the Mobile Fairhope area?
The New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints, yeah.
Ah. Mm-hmm. And would they be a team that local people support, get behind?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. There are a ton of Saints fans.
Especially with the Mardi Gras culture. A lot of people associate, you know, Mardi Gras with New Orleans, even though, of course, we started it here in Mobile.
Careful, Reed.
Exactly. So,
well, so, they know. They know.
Yeah,
I mean, there's even a big billboard, Kevin. That's when you're going from Louisiana, to Alabama, travel. There's a billboard right there. I think on I-10. It says you're 180 miles away from the original Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
But yeah, like we share a lot of the culture with them. Due to the proximity and the Mardi Gras, Kevin.
That's true, because you're only, what, 2 hours drive from New Orleans?
About two and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's
the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009.
Yeah, 2009, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's good that a team calls Saints, because all I can assume then, having never been to New Orleans, that it's a place where there must be a lot of sanctity, a lot of holy people, a lot of divine mercy being prayed morning, noon, and night on the streets.
Oh, sure.
Kevin,
I can only assume. I can only assume.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about assuming, right? You know what? We need to, if you come down, Kevin, seriously, if you when you come down, because you're going to come down at some point to Alabama, we need to you stay for a while, and we need to get you some tickets to like a Saints game and definitely an Alabama football game. So,
Alabama college football. You have whetted my appetite. It sounds like I could be very partisan now about Alabama. I feel I'm Alabaman now a bit. You know, I want the Alabamans to win everything, whatever it is.
Kevin,
even though I may not understand the rules, just make sure I'm cheering right direction.
Well, I'll explain them to you.
just make sure it's the right flag I'm waving whenever they win, whatever it is.
Just to put a bow on the football talk, the New Orleans Saints do have Catholic owners, and part of the naming inspiration was St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans.
In Jackson Street.
Really? Oh, that's really interesting. Maybe we could get the owners on the radio, have a little chat.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me where I'm going wrong.
We'd have to be ESPN affiliated. I'm pretty sure they're billionaires.
Listen, Michelle has an ability to get hold of anybody.
Michelle, if you're listening, get us the Saints owners and the Bears owners. The Bears owners are actually Catholic, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sure are.
Is that the bears that appeared in the Julian Kevin story?
No, I'm afraid those were different kind of bears, which we'll get to later on the Dueling Kevins.
Okay. Listen, commiserations, guys. I was hoping that your team would win, but, you know, I mean, as the scriptures say, the Eagles will soar again one day.
That's right. That's right. They'll be back. So they'll be back.
They'll be back. They'll
we'll
back.
Live,
that's the beauty
yeah.
of sports, right? You lose one, you win one. Hey, that's life. It's it not is, like this show, is. Right? It's just a constant war of attrition. So shall we go story time, my friends?
Hey, I'm always ready for story time.
Okay, so let's dust down those trumpets and those drums, those fife and drums, and let's play the salute. Yes, welcome back. So this is story time. Now, today I'm going to talk a rather strange story, okay? And I hope I'll be able to finish it in the time. If not, don't worry. The beauty of doing a daily show is we can run it until tomorrow. It's not like the NFL where the clock's going to go and beat us. Sorry to bring back painful memories for any fans of Philadelphia Eagles, but... you know, sports, there's a saying in this country, it doesn't quite compute in the United States, but in soccer, they say the ball is round because it goes round. Everybody gets a chance to win someday. So hopefully the Eagles will win again soon. And it sounds like they've got a great team. So that's great. Now, most of you know Joan of Arc, the name Saint Joan of Arc. And it's interesting we're talking about Louisiana because I believe that New Orleans is named after the Maid of Orleans, who was Joan of Arc, Saint Jeanne d'Arc, as they say in French. And so there's an immediate connection there with the saint I'm about to speak about. I've never been to New Orleans. I know some people that live there, and they tell me there's a statue, a beautiful statue of Saint Joan there, and no better place to have it. Now, as you know, poor old Joan was burned at the stake in 1431. That's right, the English put her to the stake. And these were Catholic English. They were not the reformers came a century later. But the English burnt Joan of Arc at the stake. And to this day, I kid you not, the French almost spit when they're speaking about Jeanne d'Arc. And they all, I remember being very surprised, some French people visiting London, and they said, the English, they burned Joan of Arc at the stake. And there was such vehemence, as if it had happened yesterday, 1431. Why is lost in the mists of medieval Machiavellian politics of the time between Burgundy and England and all of that sort of stuff? Because remember, the kings of England ruled parts of France in the past, and the word Britain, remember, there's also Brittany in France, and Great Britain comes from Great Britannia. It was to do with the geographic landmass. It wasn't to do with empire or anything like that. It predates it. So France and England have this sort of backwards and forwards, and the Normans were the linkage for a lot of this. So it's all very complicated, and it was probably nobody's fault. But anyway, she was burned at the stake in 1431. Now, what you probably didn't know, and I didn't know until some years ago, was that she wasn't canonized until 1920. So just over 100 years ago, Saint Jeanne d'Arc was canonized, became Saint Joan of Arc. Now, 8 years later, in 1928, almost 600 years after her death, Joan was immortalized in a film on the silver screen, and it was a film by a Danish filmmaker called Carl Dreyer. And Carl Dreyer is reputed to be one of the greatest filmmakers that ever lived. And I agree with that assumption. He's certainly in the pantheon of the greats, Carl Dreyer. And the thing about Carl Dreyer was that he made, after the 1920s, when there was a bit of activity, he made a film almost every single 10 years. Yeah, it took him 10 years to make a film. This was a man who filmmaking was not a business. It was not a money-making venture. It was something that was an art form. And something that he very much exalted to a level of art. And probably his greatest moment was the 1928 film, which in English is translated as The Passion of Joan of Arc. And I'll talk a little bit more about that film. But the history of this film and how it reappears and all that is fascinating. So let's begin on that. So soon after the film was completed, it disappeared. Yeah. The whole film, and remember this is in the 1920s when you had film stock, which was very flammable at the time. There was a fire at the place where they held all the negative prints, or so they thought. And the whole film went up in flames. That's right. Can you imagine, after working on a feature film for a number of years, that suddenly you would walk in one day and there would be just the burnt remains of the storage place you had them? I mean, it'd be a bit like doing this radio show and me broadcasting for 2 hours and then remembering that I hadn't switched the microphone on. You know, it's that sense of complete hopelessness. Now, maybe you'd be appreciated me more if I didn't turn the microphones on every day, but it's the same sort of feeling, right? So what did Carl Dreyer do? Now, I don't know about you. If that happened to me, I would have said, oh, it's dreadful. That's the end of it. It was never meant to be. And I would probably go to bed for a week or something. No, he didn't do anything like that. What he did was to sit down and very, very slowly, very, very painstakingly start to recreate the whole film from outtakes. Now, there was a negative, I think, somewhere in existence, but unbelievably, right? Unbelievably, while he was doing this, the negative of the film also caught fire and was obliterated. I know, you couldn't make this stuff up if you're blind. Now, isn't it interesting that this film about a saint who died, burnt to a cinder by the English, isn't it interesting that the film which was bringing her back to consciousness in the 1920s, bringing her back to the world then, shortly after her canonization, was suddenly going up in flames all over the place? Do you not find that interesting? Do you not find that strange? I do. Only a few years after its release, it seemed as if the film was lost forever. And just at a time when the now Saint Joan was being reintroduced to the world. So no matter how much Carl Dreyer tried, it seemed that they couldn't actually find the original film. So what they had was a patchwork of a sort of patched together film version, which was very unsatisfactory for all concerned. Now, that should have been the end of the matter, right? That should have been one of those films, and there are plenty of them from that era, which are lost forever to history. And the film about Joan of Arc would have gone down as one of the great missing films of all time. Absolutely no doubt about it. There were lots of photographs of the images and stuff, so people would have been able to look at them and said, this film would have been amazing to watch if only there had been a copy. However, the flickering images were to return mysteriously from the flames, like the saint herself, and in circumstances no one could have imagined. But let's back up a little bit and look at this film, and because there's more to see. Now, I've seen this film, and that's giving away part of the clue of what happens, but let's go back to the canonization of St. Joan of Arc in 1920. Because something else happened in the cult of St. Joan at that time, and that was the publication in 1921 of transcripts of her trial. Yeah, they'd never been published before, and suddenly they were out there. And these were very, very interesting documents. And at that time of their publication, and they would have caused a bit of a storm in France, people reading for the first time the trial of St. Joan of Arc. At that time in Paris was Carl Dreyer. And Carl Dreyer, as I say, was one of the most eminent young directors in Europe at the time. And it just so happened that he was visiting France as this news was breaking, and the canonization, I guess, and the publication. And the news was that these papers were out there, And he had come to France because French filmmakers, remember this is a silent era, so the fact he was Danish made no difference. The French film industry were very keen for him to make a film. And there was money available, and he was such a talent, they said, you can make a film on any subject you choose. The Danish director at the time was considering the subject matter of three French women. And he devised a way of choosing which of these women's lives he would turn into a film. And he did this by a most sort of cavalier approach, and it was this. Have you ever had the idea where you have three matches, and one of the matches is deliberately cut short, and you arrange it in a way that you're going to choose one of these matches, and that the match... Anyway, to cut a long story short, the match that he chose was the one that was indicating Jeanne d'Arc. Now, it's interesting. Again, we're going with the theme of fire, the motif of fire keeps appearing in this story about Joan of Arc. So the match that was pulled out by Carl Dreyer had the Maid of Orleans name on it. And therefore, that was the woman that he decided to make a film about. It was as simple as that. Needless to say, the director's imagination was immediately ignited. And for the next 18 months, he set about researching all he could find on the life of the peasant girl. But even then, Carl Dreyer could not have known just how much, both artistically and personally, this film would cost him. Now, crucial to the casting of the film, casting of the role of Joan was absolutely central to it. He had to find the right actress for the part. And it is said that Carl Dreyer looked at many actresses for the role. There were many, the French film industry was up and running, and there were many to look at. There were other actresses across Europe that could have played the part, and he knew many of them, and he looked at their photographs and maybe some of the rushes that they'd done at various times. But he failed to find the quality that he was looking for somebody to play St. Joan of Arc. And then one night he was walking the Paris streets and he came across a theatre where a light-hearted comedy was playing. He entered and as usual he sat down and he began to study the actresses on the stage. And one of these actresses, remember this is a light comedy, okay, so playful, fun, variety show type thing. One of the actresses caught his eye. He recognized immediately that she was very beautiful, if heavily made up for the comedic part that she was playing. Still, he felt there was something about her and something that drew him to her. He went home that night and he thought about what he saw and he determined to come back the next day to see her again, to see if she had the same impact on him as she had had on that first night. So he wandered through the Paris streets, came upon the theatre, bought his ticket, entered, sat again and watched her. That night he was convinced that he had found Jeanne d'Arc. And after the performance, he went backstage. Now, as always, I think we're going to have to leave it at that point. So we will continue this story, the strange story of the Passion of Joan of Arc, how it came into existence, how it disappeared, and how it then reappeared in history. This is going to be continued here on Storytime on Archangel Radio.
You've been listening to Storytime on the Turley Frequency.
All right, Kevin, what do we have coming up tomorrow?
Well, you know and I know tomorrow's a big day, right, Reed? It's Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be looking at Catholic matchmakers. So, for those unattached people out there, unattached Catholics, This is an opportunity to hear what goes on in a Catholic dating agency. Doesn't that sound interesting, Reid?
That does sound interesting.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get your application in overnight, I mean, they'll probably fast track it.
Here's your chance, Reid. Here's your chance.
And then we're going to be talking about the flip side of all that romance, which is marriage and sustaining a long-term marriage and the sanctity involved in that, if not the way of the cross for everybody concerned, because marriage is ultimately a vocation and a call to holiness. So tomorrow it'll be chocolates, flowers, and a large dose of reality. How does that sound, guys?
That sounds great.
Love it.
Well, let's see what happens. Listen, you've been listening to the Turley Frequency here on Archangel Radio. As always, I'm grateful to our producers, Reid and Mike. They do a fantastic job. And as for Michelle, well, we respect her enormously. I do hope you'll enjoy tomorrow's special Valentine's edition when we will do it all again. So feel free to join us. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. Until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.